find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running at the Wednesday broadcast of the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You know, I don't know about you, but I always like that part on those stakes races, the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont and the other one, Preakness. And they're off. And so here we go on a wonderful Wednesday. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And you are listening on WMIE 91.5. This is a radio program that's brought to you by Merit Assembly of God, the wonderful saints there. We want to be a blessing to our community. And so that's why we are here. Another member of our community that wants to be a blessing are the folks at Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you have a home here, but you live someplace else and you want to have an air conditioning company on call just in case you need them, maybe you have a rental property or something like that, and you want their phone number so you can deal with them, and you can actually call them on a 1-800 number. That's 1-800-423-7424, 1-800-423-7424. One of the things that you can do if you forget any of our sponsors' information that I give to you, I normally mention each of the sponsors once a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's almost always at the beginning part of the program. And so if you say, you know, Pastor Bob mentioned somebody that's in the air conditioning and electrical field. He mentioned another air conditioning company. He mentioned a block and concrete connection. You can go back and find out what those are by listening to the WMIEFM.com Listen on Demand feature at the bottom of their webpage. Weirich Air has been providing professional sales, service, and repair in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency services when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So I also try and pass along some helpful tips to you, hints that I've picked up. And so there was someone that posted a week or so ago, 2 weeks, on an air conditioner that they had to replace. The salt air had just really done a number on this particular unit, and it wasn't very old. And if you have not yet realized that the salt environment that we live in is hard on metal, you will before long. I mean, it's just hard. And so as I saw what was going on, I read the comments, and the comments said something like this: in order to prolong the life of your unit, you want to rinse it off with water once or twice a week. And I thought, well, you know, that's not hard to do. So I want to encourage you, if you've got things that are rusting and deteriorating around your property, you might want to go out there with a garden hose every once in a while and wash things off. It may help to prolong their life. Don't take my word for it. If you've got an AC professional, ask them, because it is possible to get bad information. If you listen, I hear a lot of people say a lot of different things, and sometimes I do my own research because I don't like for other people to laugh at my expense because I've just been lazy about something. So ask your professional and see if it would be a good idea for you to hose things down every once in a while. And the closer you get to the beach and to the salt water, probably the more frequently you will need to do that. If you need an AC service company, give the folks at Wyrick Air a call, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So today we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're looking at when King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were under attack by three different armies. There was the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. They had come together. They had allied themselves to seek Judah's destruction, and God wasn't in favor. Listen, if God ever votes no, you lose that election. You lose that election. So yesterday we had talked about implementing the strategy, obeying what God tells you to do. That is always the right thing to do. Even if people do not respond the way that you would like them to respond, it is still the right thing to do. There have been times where God has told me to do things. The leadership over me has told me to do things. And sometimes people just didn't respond the way that they should have. But doing the right thing was still the correct call. So I want to encourage you, do what God tells you, you know, and people have to make up their own mind. Whether it's right to obey God or to obey you, you decide. But as for us, we're going to do what God tells us to do. And then every once in a while, you will get somebody and says, look, we don't want to find ourselves fighting against God. And that's always a good thing. So in this, the battle belongs to the Lord. We've talked about several things. We have talked about that the battle belongs to the Lord, but it also involves enemies. It also involves strategy. It also involves obedience or implementation. And today, I want to take you to verse number 24 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, which means the valley of blessing, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So if we've got enemies and God gives us the strategy, his divine flawless strategy, his successful strategy, and we implement it and walk in obedience to that, we are going to experience victory. What I'm going to talk to you about today is something that a lot of people don't really appreciate. They don't fully understand, and they don't. Christians are not really all that good at it. I'm just going to be honest. And so let's see if we can't improve in that. You see, we are really good at reacting whenever an enemy attacks. It drives us to a point of desperation. And when we do all of those things, we're going to experience what Jehoshaphat did, and that is that we are going to experience victory. Now, I think that too many times Christians have become comfortable with defeat. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were going in to take possession of the promised land, they had a battle and they had several people who were killed in that battle. It was a new phenomenon for them. They were so accustomed to not experience any loss that they were devastated, and I believe the number of people that were killed, it was either 18 or 36. Okay? 18 or 36. If you were to look at the battles in America or the wars that we have fought in America, you would find that we lose thousands and thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of soldiers to conflict. And it grieves the family. It's horrible. I'm not minimizing that at all. But I want to tell you this. Losing one is traumatic. And so if we become desensitized to the tragedy of loss, we will not fully appreciate the celebration of victory. Every person that left Jerusalem to go to the battle came back home. Now, I know what it is like to have a family member deployed into a war zone. I know what it is like to almost lose a family member in conflict. I also know what it is like for them to come back home victorious. Okay? I want you to know that God sets us up to succeed. He sets us up for victory. Okay? And on this case, they went, they found that the enemy had destroyed themselves. Other times, the God's people showed up and God had sent hailstones and wiped out the enemy. There were other times that plagues wiped out the enemy. You see, God's strategy is really not so much about the strategy as it is that it's his path. His strategy is the path that we need to follow that is going to give us the victory. God wants you to be more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? Not just an overcomer, more than an overcomer. You need to be walking in victory. We need to be walking in victory. Listen, I don't want to have that lovable loser type mindset in life. I want to be walking victoriously so that when spiritual warfare does take place, that the demons say, look, Jesus I know, and Pastor Bob I know. I don't want them to say, who are you again? I don't want that. I want to be walking in victory. I want to be praying for people with sickness and disease, and they are healed in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for the doctors. I've already told you about that. Sometimes God's strategy has been miraculous in my life. Sometimes it has been through the medical professionals. My wife received a dream one night years ago about some attacks that were coming against her. She didn't understand what they were, but she knew that there were three attacks, and they ended up being physical. And so there was an attack that where she fell off a ladder and she almost broke her neck, but she didn't. And then they thought that she might have had cancer, and they found out she didn't. And then they thought that she might have had a different type of cancer. And finally, after she stood in faith, they said, look, we don't know what's wrong with you, but you don't have cancer. Goodbye. But there have been a number of other situations in her life where medical intervention has been utilized. The thing isn't the strategy that God uses. It's the victory. God will set us up for victory where the devil will set you up for failure and defeat. Okay? So celebrate. This is the part that I want to share with you. Celebrate the victory. Go ahead. Allow yourself to be filled with joy. In verse number 27, because of the victory, it says, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Okay? And so there was a time of celebration. The only way that you can fully understand that is to realize that when people went off to war, historically, not everybody came back home. And so there was always a tremendous amount of joy. My husband came home. Dad came home. Their families were rejoicing. Our son came home. And when there is that victory, don't be afraid to celebrate. Allow the joy of the Lord. It says here in verse number 27, the Lord had made them to rejoice. They came back to Jerusalem with joy. We don't do that very well. Let me give you an example. If God gives you a victory, a lot of times we say, okay, where's the next battle? Where's the next battle? Well, you need to celebrate that victory first. Okay? If you've moved from one battle into another battle, you're still fighting the same battle. You've got to allow God to receive the glory and the honor and the praise because the battle was his. He enabled the victory. He empowered it. He gave you the strength, the strategy, the tools that were necessary. And so part of that celebration is where you come and you say, you know what? This, we thought that this was going to be a place of devastation, but instead it was a place of abundance. So look at verse number 25. The people came to take away their spoil. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. You ready? Don't be more faithful to present your prayer request at church than you are to present the testimonies to answered prayer. I'm going to say that again. Don't be more faithful to present the prayer request at church than you are to present the testimonies to answered prayer. So in our office area, our conference room, it was at one time used for a girls' ministry class. And up there on the wall, they have an area for prayer request, and they have where they could attach notes, but right beside it is another board just like it for testimonies. And the teachers were always teaching them not only to present their prayer request, but also when God answers, celebrate. Bless the Lord. Be thankful unto him. You know, we talk about the religious festivals, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles and Passover and the Day of Atonement and all that sort of stuff. Another translation puts it as the celebration. It was a time of great joy. And I can, if you do not think that you have something to celebrate, if you sit down with me for a little while, we'll find something that we can cause you to celebrate over. Okay. A lot of people like to focus and fixate on the bad things that have happened, the traumatic things that have happened. I want to focus on the other things. I want to focus on the victories. If I've had setbacks, if I've had defeats, I'm not going to deny them, but heaven is a place of rejoicing. Do you realize that heaven celebrates every time a sinner comes to repentance? And there are tens of thousands of people a week around the globe that are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, somebody is getting saved around this globe. And every time, God throws a celebration. Every time, there's a time of rejoicing. What does that do for your image of heaven? If you thought it was just a sterile place where, you know, there's holiness all around, and there is, and the only activity that's going on is whenever God issues a decree from his throne, and he does that. But I want you to know, heaven is where the celebration is at, and we need to be celebrating. If you've got a paycheck right now, celebrate that God has blessed you with a paycheck. Don't forget to thank him for the things that he... If you've got a skill set that has caused you to be marketable right now, thank God for the skill set that he gave you. If you have got your parents right now, thank God that they're still alive. If you've got your kids right now, thank God that they're still alive. If you have kids or parents and they've passed away, thank God for them that you got to experience them for as long as you did. It wasn't that long ago. I lost my last grandparent, and I asked my dad how he was doing, and he said, "I'm celebrating because I got to experience her life a lot more than a lot of other people get to experience life with their parents." My mother passed away, and that's been very difficult to happen in 2020. But I said, look, I'm celebrating because we got buzzed with her. There were times when she was on death's door and God said, it's not time yet. You get to celebrate. And I tell you, some of the greatest joys that she ever experienced happened in the years after that. Celebrate God's victories. If you've been healed, celebrate the healing. If you've had a loved one that got saved and gave their heart to the Lord, celebrate. God is looking for people who won't just tell him about their problems, but they're going to thank him and bless him for the blessings and the victories that he has brought their way. When we do that, it says, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. One more thing I want to say about enemies, and it is in Luke chapter 19, and then we're going to move on to a different aspect of things that belong to God in our future broadcasts. It says in verse number 11, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was, when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. A lot of times we focus on the minas or the talents, as it's referred to in another place. First of all, I will tell you this. It was God's resources, and they were to implement the strategies that God had trained them to use. And they would see results. The wicked person wasn't because they didn't produce the results they wanted. They didn't implement the strategies. Therefore, they didn't see the victories. But there's one little thing here that people often overlook, and that is this, that the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse number 27, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. I want you to know, I've said it before last week, I'll say it again. Jesus came to do away with the enmity that existed between holy God and wicked sinners. He did that through his death on the cross so that we would be no longer enemies, but we would be adopted into the household of faith. But you and I, we've got to choose. Are we going to allow God to rule and reign over us or not? If we do not, if we say no to God's leadership, his forgiveness, his grace, and spending forever with him, there is another option, but you do not want the option of where you have said, God, I don't want you ruling and reigning in my life. Whatever you do, hear my pastor's heart this morning. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. It is the path to victory and blessing. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Christ is risen from the dead.